Have you ever wanted to learn a new language? Maybe you were inspired by a recent international trip, became obsessed with a foreign film or TV show, wanted to communicate better with a loved one, or just felt like developing a new skill. With Rosetta Stone, learning a new language is easier than you thought. Rosetta Stone has been a trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered, including Spanish, French, Japanese, Dutch, and more. Learning is immersive and designed for long-term retention, so you fully learn to speak, listen, and even think in that language. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. Listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
Ever feel like your blanket just can't keep up with you or the weather? Introducing the all-season Miki Couture Everywhere Blanket. Whether you're at the beach, on a hike, or cozying up around the fire pit, the Miki Couture Everywhere Blanket is your perfect companion. This new hooded blanket is super soft, ultra-portable, and stylish, too. It offers luxury comfort and warmth that goes wherever you go. Get your new Miki Couture Everywhere Blanket today. Available now in stores and online at MikiCouture.com.
You're listening to Broncos for Breakfast with Nick Kendall and Scott Kennedy.
Monday morning, sadly, first Broncos loss we've witnessed in the Bo Nix era, 0-1, but after an exciting preseason. But yeah, Denver falls flat in Seattle, losing to the Seahawks 26-20. I'm Nick Kendall. This is Scott Kennedy here. We are Broncos for Breakfast. Good morning to you, Scott. Man, it was a painful week of offensive football for folks over here in the Kendall household. First, we saw Iowa just completely crap the bed versus Iowa State at home, especially in the second half. Quarterback went like 6 for 21 and didn't hit 100 yards total through the last three quarters of play. And then got to watch Kirk Cousins play horrible for the Falcons. And then whatever the Broncos were doing on offense there. But before we even get any further, I did want to give a hat tip to the Seattle defense, McDonald, the way they were able to generate pressure without blitzing. Probably, I mean, there's a reason they got the head coach job, right? Very good defense, good tackling defense as well. That's a NFC West is going to be fun to watch this season, but that was a good Seahawks team. Maybe not a good Broncos team, but they did. I feel like they beat Denver by more than what the score indicates in this one. They were better than 26-20.
Well, they started off playing the game as one of the worst halves of football I've ever seen.
Yeah.
You know, with, you know, if you think of a safety as basically a turnover with points, they had four turnovers in the first half. You know, and Denver needs to take advantage of that type of thing, and they're just not quite there yet, which is, you know, that's not a huge surprise. And we talk about hostile environment. I think we, you know, underestimate Seattle, as Sean Payton says, was, you know, there's a lot of, you know, hype around the loud stadiums. There's maybe five or six where the stadium actually matters. This is one of them, you know, this is one of them. So it'll be a lot better coming home and playing in front of the home crowd with the meet and greet next week.
Yeah. Big game. Cannot start 0-2. And probably go anywhere this season. Before the year, Timo Riske over at PFF did a strength of schedule analysis, and Denver has the either easiest or second easiest first eight games of the year, followed by the hardest eight games, the hardest schedule of the last eight games. So if Denver wants to be much of anything this season, they need to start competing in games like this. And unfortunately, week one, not good results. And we'll get into it, but do want to say hello to folks coming in, especially our star givers, Rob Bucksbaum in the house, $5. He says, good morning, gents. The best MHH team. Yesterday stings, but brighter days are coming. Your thoughts? Is Javonte Cook? Where is Mims? He was MIA. Where were the pass catchers and offensive weapons in general, Scott? I mean, it's been something that you and I'll be honest. I mean, I do listen to other people, but I really try not to be influenced outside of my own thoughts. So I'm not like sitting here listening, reading every single thing a Broncos content creator makes, but we've been harping about the lack of weapons on this team and just how many question marks they have. And I know Nix didn't look good yesterday. We'll get a chance to talk about Bo Nix. But I got to have the actual all 22, right? I was sitting there midfield, pretty high up. I could see everything unfolding. Didn't look like he was missing guys left and right. He was late on a lot. You know, he wasn't any, the arm isn't good enough to be late mentally and mechanically. It's fine, but it's not, you know, oh, I'm a second late, boom, gone. Not Anthony Richardson, 66 air yards off his back foot. But the weaponry, that's something I come out of this game. There were some drop passes, Cortland Sutton, not perfect balls, but he still got to catch those. But I mean, Vela getting targets, but not looking dynamic. There's nothing out there that scares anyone. The Seahawks played that way.
No, Bailey, I think we showed is a nice like safety blanket. He's a nice security blanket. It's like, okay, options one and two aren't there. Oh, where's Bailey? There we go. That's a great six catches, 60 yards for five first downs type of guy.
Yeah.
But he's your number one. No, Sutton's number one. You know what I mean? Yeah. He's your number two target right now. And, you know, we went last week, said, hey, listen, if you could have one guy in the league, you know, let's not take quarterbacks, but one player in the league to put on your team, who would it be? And I'm like, the Denver Broncos, they need a playmaker, you know, and you know, I'm not even saying running back. I think he needs somebody to stretch the field. I picked Tyreek Hill, you know. Now, yeah, a lot of people would pick, well, that's the best player in football. Well, maybe, but not every team needs someone who can stretch the field the way this team does. Nick, last week we said, well, I said that if you can't get any separation, if you can't move guys off the line of scrimmage, Bo Nix is going to look bad, and it won't have anything to do with Bo Nix. It has to do with the lack of players around him, and that's part of a rebuilding season, Nick. And no, yeah, I don't think, Rob, I thought Javonte looked fine. Mm-hmm. I thought he actually looked pretty good. I was pleased with what I saw from Javonte Williams. I know he's running into nine-man fronts, yeah, and still was effective. And you're going to see nine-man fronts until you can prove that you can get behind a defense. And that's going to be tough with this personnel.
It is going to be tough, and it's going to be a lot of safeties firing downhill, linebackers firing downhill, and press coverage, because you don't have guys that can get behind to stack a defensive back and beat you too much. And right now the quarterback doesn't look like he'll be, based on one game, but much of a threat to really push the football that way. Now, again, one game, tough environment, and a very tough defensive line, and two really good defensive backs, Weatherspoon and Woolen as well. So we'll see how it plays out. Again, we're not going to overreact too much. Put out on the Twitter sphere after the game, you know, I am reacting to this one just as much as I am reacting to the preseason games. Right? He's not going to be a bust and be a terrible quarterback because he had a bad week one. Caleb Williams stunk yesterday. Jaden Daniels was bad too. Kirk, I mean, we are coming off of the worst week one of offensive football in a decade by a big margin. So I'm not going to overreact to that, but just like I wasn't going to overreact and crown him from preseason as well when they're playing static cover three off coverage against backups. We're going to let the season play out. The state of the roster is not great, so barring injury, there's probably not a reason to not play Bo Nix the entire season, and we'll have much more to go off of versus one road game in Seattle. Arlie comes in here, says, Seattle, we're tackling everyone. Zero run game. Nix needs to settle, but it's only the first game. Second game will be more revealing. Learn and grow. Go Broncos. And I think that's Sean Payton's press conference yesterday was a little interesting. He talked about going to the wide receiver saying, let's go. He talks about the offensive line. He said they were average at best in pass protection. I mean, I think Sean is going out there and being a smart coach and protecting his young quarterback, you know, who looked a little bit, you know, it was a big moment for him, and he didn't look like he was, you know, totally ready for that moment, which is fine. But I also think, you know, Sean, sorry, I trust Sean, but the play calling was not great. I feel like they're calling plays for guys on the perimeter they don't have. And also the quarterback play wasn't great. It was just an all-out overall failure from the offense. It's going to be harder to find guys to say, oh, yeah, I'm happy with how that guy went. Vele, that's about it, versus guys that we think need to do better.
And Arlie, the Seattle was tackling everyone. That's because they started in your hip. You know, they weren't giving any cushion because they're not afraid of your playmakers. They're not afraid of getting beat, so they're right there. I don't have to, there's no separation, so there's no room to put a move on somebody and then try and break a tackle or get anywhere out there. It's press, you know, it's a press zone. I am on you the whole time. There's no room to breathe for these guys. It's easy to tackle a guy when he catches it and I'm already standing next to you. You know, no, there's not going to be any run after the catch. So again, you know, we can, depending on what happens with Garrett Bowles, you know, first round wide receiver. That's my next pick is got to go wide receiver on this one. So what was the other one I saw? You know, Keith over here says this team needs a run game. It does, but it's not going to get one until you can back the guys off the line of scrimmage just a little bit. And again, just watch. You don't even need the all 11 to all 22 to see this, because when they put the camera on the box, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, I can count 9 defenders. It's the NFL, man. You don't run against a 9-man box.
Yeah. And that's something we've talked about as well. If Knicks is not going to be, let me just use a not great quarterback, but an example here, you know, Joe Flacco with the Ravens, where they had, you know, Torrey Smith out there and he's hitting the back of his 7-step drop and spraying the football vertically. Knicks doesn't have to be that to be effective. There are plenty of quarterbacks with his combination of athleticism, arm talent, accuracy that are effective in the league. But you're talking about a guy who's a pretty pure point guard there. I think the athleticism, that's underselling it a little bit, but it's Alex Smith-esque in a way. And if you're working on the quick game, you are reliant on the guys creating outside of structure, and you are reliant on the weapons on the perimeter being enough of a threat to dictate coverage. And as you mentioned there, when you're playing, you know, there's a lot of fire zones, a lot of very aggressive coverage up front, safeties crashing down hard, linebackers crashing down hard. You got to make them pay for that. And Denver just did not look like a team at all that could make them pay. Now, part of that's Knicks, part of that's the weapons, but passes beyond 10 air yards, Scott, Broncos were terrible. Knicks went 2 for 12 on that. I believe it was 43 yards and 2 interceptions, and it could have been more. A few of those passes beyond 10 yards, Seattle was coming down hard on that. So again, it's not all Bo Nix. He was late on a few of those throws out there. But I mean, there's no doubt about it. The passing game as a whole was pretty much DOA in Seattle this week.
Well, and what's interesting to me is, you know, I think that Sean Payton recognizes the need for more dynamics at wide receiver, but they've missed. You know, when you trade up for Marvin Mims, who gets one target, when you trade up for Troy Franklin and is inactive, well, you're making trades. Obviously, you see a need there, but they're not hitting on those guys. And that comes into, well, I needed more shots. I needed more picks, because Vele, what was he, 6th round? He looks like a fantastic 6th round pick.
7th, I think.
So yeah, 7th. Either way, anything day 3, he looks fantastic. Mm-hmm. But right now you're lacking playmakers. You're lacking who you thought Jerry Jeudy could be when you drafted him. And he never was. I'm not saying you needed a Jerry Jeudy. You needed who you thought you were getting when you drafted Jerry Jeudy. And it changed things. Now, Nick, how much of this is on Bo Nix? Here's my question for you, because I think of Joe Burrow as that game manager type of guy. Like, does he have all the traits of a normal number one type of pick? Maybe I just haven't watched Joe Burrow enough that I don't see the Josh Allen arm, the Lamar Jackson athleticism. Yeah. If you switched Joe Burrow and Bo Nix yesterday, does the outcome of this game change?
I mean, it's so hard to say, because while Burrow doesn't have an incredible arm, he does still have the propensity for the deep ball and the touch on the deep ball. Now, granted, he's had very good weapons in college and the NFL. I think if you have Joe Burrow a top 5, top 7 quarterback, it might change for sure, because he's just going to be a little bit more. I think he's going to be able to find space vertically in some of those shots, work the safeties a little bit more, and not like Nix was late on a few of those throws where you just cannot be late. You don't have Anthony Richardson's arm. That's okay. But you know, some of the hitches, some of the not trusting themselves, where I don't think you're having that with Burrow, so to speak. But I hear what you're saying. You don't have to have Josh Allen, Anthony Richardson, a combination. I mean, Caleb Williams, bad game yesterday too, to still be effective in those ways. You have smaller margins, right? That's what we always talk about. It's what are the margins when you evaluate these guys?
And for me, I wouldn't have asked if I didn't already know the have the answer. I'm like, no, I don't think Joe Burrow would have made a big difference for this game yesterday with this game plan, because you're throwing side to side. You know, if you were sitting behind center, if you're behind the goalpost, you may have been, and someone put an ISO cam on you, you might have been thinking you're watching a tennis match when the Broncos were on offense, because this is where the ball was going. Side to side, side to side. It wasn't going downfield at all. And the screen game should be an extension of the running game. The screen game's not going to work against a nine-man front, because you might fool the four guys in the front of you, you know, the front four. You might fool them. They might come crashing in. Guess who's still standing right there within a yard of the line of scrimmage? Seven other guys. So, again, we've got to be able to get the ball downfield, or it's going to look a lot like this for most of the season.
Yeah, they're going to have to figure something out there, Scott, without a doubt. We'll see. I was surprised to not see more Bo Nix aggression in the run game. I thought that was something where Sean Payton, I mean, we did see some RPO looks, but I was hoping to see more run design from the quarterback, but we'll see what happens there. We got RD coming in and says, Payton gave up the run way too soon. Didn't help Bo. Did they give up the run? I mean, I'd have to look at the play splits based on the quarter, but I don't feel like they completely gave up the run. But I'm with you for a game that, I mean, it should have probably been further apart than it was. Denver should have taken advantage of it. They go 1-for-4 in the red zone. Not good enough, Scott, without a doubt. But, I mean, 40-plus pass attempts was 42 pass attempts was not the formula I'm sure Sean Payton came into with this game.
I agree. And it was – it's not like it was you were being effective passing the ball. You know, I think there was after 22 passes or something like 60 yards of offense, you know, 60 yards passing on 22 with 20 something of that coming on one. So you're talking, you know, 2 yards per attempt. I can get 2 yards running the ball, 2 yards per attempt running the ball. RD is a great comment. I think he got away from running it too soon as well. Putting the ball on the ground isn't going to help. You know, when he's already biased towards wanting to throw the ball at time, you know, the short passing game. And when you're like, see, I knew it. I couldn't run the ball. It's confirmation bias. Is that what we want to call it, Nick? Where I'm afraid to give the ball to the backs. And then they go ahead and do what I was afraid that they were going to do. We don't see those guys very much. But I, you know, going back to the front, the very first comment from Rob, you know, it's Javonte cooked. Unless something was wrong with Javonte, I'd like to see 25 carries a game. Use this guy, man. Use him. I mean, how many times we don't hear it very much anymore because guys don't get the carries anymore. He gets stronger as the game goes on. We used to hear that all the time. Well, no, he didn't. He's just a badass who is still at 95% in the fourth quarter when everybody else is wearing down. And when you've got a power back like Javonte, that's how you use them.
Yeah, and again, if you're going to be a team that, since you don't have the weapon that can dictate coverage and create explosive plays, and that's something, I mean, we talked about all offseason, Scott, even in preseason, when Bo Nix was playing well, but we're looking at it, where are the explosive plays going to come from? You have Courtland Sutton, but are you going to have what you had with Russell Wilson, where, you know, there's the little bit of escape and the down the field, you know, acrobatic stuff? From what we saw from Nix, that didn't look like it was as much on the table. And outside of that last season, you weren't getting explosives, really. Mims, step up, Franklin, somebody's got to. But in today's NFL, and everyone drink, you know, Nix boring as hell because he has the same two talking points, but turnovers and explosive plays are the most two important and indicative statistics in football. And right now, Denver, offensively, I just have no idea where the explosives are going to come from. And as you mentioned it earlier, people in the chat, oh, it can be the screen game. The screen is part of the explosive pass play. Well, when they're crowding the box and they know that's your one way to do that, and it's still, you know, tying on the running back, you're going to find tough sledding to get explosives from the screen game. So this is probably going to be an all season issue. And I always say you want to separate the reasons from the excuses for the quarterback. Don't get me wrong. Nix did not have a good game. I'm not going to overreact to that. There was plenty of failures around him that it's not all on him. And I'm not any more concerned about his play than I was coming into the season based on my own evaluation of his college tape. But again, just finding explosive plays, it's going to be hard all season for this team and something we're going to watch going forward. Luckily, this probably looks like a team. I mean, one game, Nick, don't overreact. Probably a team that's going to be picking in the top 10, Scott. Definitely, I would say top 15. Season. Things can change.
Most of y'all saw our predictions last week.
Yeah.
You know, this isn't – you saw what our predictions were for this season, what our expectations and hopes for were for this team. Your hope were wrong. You hope you flip those and you're going 11-6. But as Justin comes in here, appreciate you, Justin. He says $50 million plus in dead money is showing. Now, you're technically correct on this, Justin, because it is plus. $50 million plus is actually $77 million. Mm-hmm. You've got $77 million in dead money, okay? Yeah. Now, let's just round it up and call it 80. Now, we've gone through this before, and let's see, if I've got $80 million, I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I've got 10 guys on this team with a $5 million cap hit. That's it. Less than half of my starters. $80 million means I could put another 10 $8 million guys out there. $8 million, there's only three guys with a cap hit of $8 million on this team, including, let's come back to this, Cortland Sutton is now less than $8 million. There's only three guys with less than $8 million. I could have 10 guys with $8 million cap hits on this team in dead money. Do you think that would make a difference? Guys, it's a rebuilding season. Mm-hmm. It's rebuilding. It's resetting.
Yeah. It's just a lot of questions. And Scott, it's something that I do think you're maybe coming around a little bit to me as well, because it feels like every year, like, oh man, the wide receiver classes are stacked. But then you look around the league and all these teams, you don't have enough playmakers on the
quarterback. Ain't.
Even still, yeah, quarterbacks.
That's the problem. Someone's got to get them the ball.
Yeah, but even still, I feel like there's no such thing as having enough playmakers on the outside. And even though they're available every year early in the draft, and you have a chance probably every 2 or 3 years to get a number one, you still want more. You need more. So this is a team that is, I came into the season. I mean, if they traded Sutton, I don't even want to know what this would look like pass catcher wise, but one of the bottom five collective running back, tight end, wide receiver groups in football. And that showed. And some of that's misevaluation too. At least it looks like right now. We got Keith coming in and says, with our receivers being much larger, guys like Mims need to step up for separation. Where was Mims? I mean, we see what's on the tape, but we don't have access to the practice. We don't have access to the meeting rooms, anything like that. So I am, you know, it's a little bit of what they call it, appeal to authority maybe, but the coaches, I don't think coaches typically play guys who are worse, right? So where's Mims? Mims needs to answer that himself, right? Because he's not doing enough to get on the field. And with this set of weapons and he's not getting on the field, that says something more about Mims, in my opinion, than anything the coaches are doing misevaluation-wise at this point. Misevaluation maybe earlier, but at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I still would call it a misevaluation. If you can't get him on the field in the second round, what did you miss now? I don't know. My question on the only answer I have, Keith, is that they don't think Mims is good enough to contribute to this offense, to be part of the game plan. It's not like he's out there getting 80 snaps, you know, and 10 targets and just, oh yeah, we can see it. He's MIA. And we warned all about this in the preseason because the Broncos, I don't watch everybody, but I watch enough that I feel pretty confident in saying that they had to have played their starters as much, if not more than anybody in the NFL this preseason. And Mims wasn't out there. He wasn't out there. I mean, that they're telling us, they're showing us a hand. We're not going to play this guy.
Yep.
So I don't know, Keith, just other than he's not, no pun intended, we're going to play here, but he's not separating himself in practice enough to earn part to be part of the game plan.
Yeah. I'm with you. We got Michael coming in out there in Tucson. Says, good morning, Nick and Scott. I'm Broncos for breakfast. Go Broncos. Go Michael. Good to see you. Hope you're doing well. Appreciate you coming in this fine morning.
I feel like I missed you this morning, Michael. So good to see you. Glad you're okay. I was going to hit you up on Twitter. Hey, you okay, dude? Where were you?
And we got Miguel coming in. Says, sup, fellas. I think Pookie needs a majority of the carries and keep Jaleel only in 2 minutes and some third downs. Keep Pookie in. Issue with Jaleel in 2 minutes and some third downs is that he is a detriment in pass protection right now, but you're gonna have to figure it out, right? And I'm with you, Scott. it's really tough to stay patient with the ground game when you are as ineffective as Denver was. You had Javonte only get 8 carries, but 2.9 yards per touch. Jaleel with 10 carries, only 2.7 yards per touch. And I'll have to go back and watch the All-22 and the box count and just get the data on it. But it did feel like it was more scheme. They schemed the run game out versus Denver just straight up losing one-on-ones consistently and blocking. It felt like they were ahead. If we take the run game away and make Bo Nix beat us and the pass game beat us, they can't. And they did that very effectively.
Yep. I appreciate you, Miguel. I agree. I just, again, feed him and fan him. You know, I just mentioned that there's some problems with this game, but the game is the game. And you got a running back in the last year of his contract, run the tread off him. You know, just feed him. He needs 20 carries a game. You know, and then go from there. I got, how much money do I have on the right side of my line, Nick? You know, run it behind Quinn Miners and Mike McGlinchey. Those guys are run blockers. Go. That's
a question that we probably are going to need to answer next week against TJ Watt and Benton and Hayward, but that's a different problem.
Wednesday's show. When we'll look forward to the Steelers. When are you leaving? You're going to be here Wednesday, right?
I'll be here Wednesday. I'm not leaving. I'm flying Saturday.
I thought you were going in much early, but that may
I'm going to be back. It's the next week. So Natalie's going to meet with the University of Colorado out there and do some stuff. So I'm not going to be back until Wednesday, but I'm flying with my computer. So I should be.
David says, were any of you two either shocked or surprised at how badly Caleb Williams struggled yesterday? Yeah. I'm surprised at his numbers, and his numbers were poor. Caleb Williams, who I think everybody on earth is going to say is in a better situation to succeed on offense, at least personnel wise, than Bo Nix with Chicago, was 14 of 29 for just 93 yards. Key here, though, no turnovers. He didn't throw any interceptions. So turnover battle. We saw, if you didn't see it, the game winner for the Chicago Bears was a god-awful interception. For Will Levis that cost them the game. God awful. So yeah, I was surprised. Now, the only rookie quarterback out of this heralded class, what were there? Was Bo the sixth?
Yeah.
Sixth taken. So six quarterbacks taken. The only one who had any kind of success at all was Jaden Daniels, who was efficient passing the ball and dynamic as hell running the ball. And didn't turn the ball over again. Didn't turn the ball over. But yeah, I was surprised at how bad Caleb Williams struggled yesterday. Because it's Tennessee defense isn't considered, you know, the 85 Bears or anything.
Yeah.
You expect them to struggle. They're rookies, but that was still a different level of, he was poor. He was poor throwing the ball.
Yeah. And I do want to get into it a little bit. I said this on the Falcons show, and I want to say it here as well. Offense the last two seasons has been really trending down. Across the NFL, especially passing offense. And you can blame Vic Fangio. You can blame what teams are doing with simulated pressure. I think a lot of it's offensive line discrepancy compared to the defensive line talent. But teams are just playing so much nickel and two deep safeties that it's just hard to generate anything in the explosive pass game. And it was one of the, I mean, it was just an absolutely horrible week of NFL offense. So where am I getting at with this? We need to look at Bo Nix relative to the league right now. So like, if you're looking at him compared to where, you know, Mahomes and the offenses were 2 years ago, this was a really bad game. But even though as inept as they were, he still only finished as what, the 24th quarterback out of 30 so far in EPA. I mean, it was a bad game for Nix. And also I think that drive where they did score a touchdown was a lot of, okay, as long as they don't score in one play here, we should be good enough to win this game. So I think that last, as everybody got really upset about Teddy Bridgewater 2 years ago, Scott, you know, padding the stats in garbage time, that was not a garbage time touchdown per se, but it was we're going to let you move the ball a little bit with a little bit more conservative coverage here, as long as you're not scoring on one play, because we don't think you can do it twice.
Didn't Teddy also start like 4-1?
Yeah, he did. But I'm just saying,
they were winning games. There couldn't have been too much garbage time.
I just remember that was everybody's conversation.
Oh, Teddy got a lot of hate. I'm like, you know, and he did a good job. I mean, he was brought in and he was who he was.
Yep.
He was a solid. Teddy is who people think Jarrett Stidham is. Jarrett Stidham's nowhere near Teddy Bridgewater at Teddy's best. There's nowhere near. And Teddy was like, oh, anyway, different story here. US Dave says, gave me a reason not to make the 13-hour drive for the meet and greet, but you guys are still the best. Dave, you're killing me on this. I'm going out there with my wife. We don't even have tickets, so we might not even go to the game. If something pops up, then great. Otherwise, I'm there for y'all. I'm there for you, Dave. So I might sit out there with a radio on in the parking lot and tailgate for the whole game. So we'll see. But Dave, you sorry, we're gonna miss you. But understand, Troy comes in. He says he thought Riley Moss looked good. I thought Riley Moss looked good and physical for sure. I thought that was a good, call him a redshirt freshman. You know, this is a guy who saw a little bit of time as a freshman. We redshirted him. And then he's coming back as a redshirt freshman with his true first action. I thought Riley Moss was just fine.
Yeah, well, I want to get into the defense a little bit, but I did want to get to just the point about offense yesterday in general, passing offense. The average, Scott, for all the passers yesterday was 185 yards, and we only had 33 passing touchdowns so far, which in the last decade, I think the lowest is 38 last season. So unless we have an offensive explosion tonight with the Jets and the 49ers, it's going to be pretty poor. So we'll see if that's just a week one blip. We'll see if it's kind of preseason kind of falling apart where teams just, you know, take a little bit longer to get going. Sure, certainly the Falcons looked rusty, but the baseline isn't historical last year. The baseline is our current contemporary peers, and offense was down across the entire NFL yesterday. So we'll keep an eye out for that trend. And that's going to be important context, I think, for judging Bo. I did want to get back here to Troy. He says, Moss looked very good. I think the defense, we've talked about it all year. I mean, how much have the Broncos invested, despite having all the dead cap and everything? Denver, I feel like, kept taking away from the defense, especially in the back seven, and adding, you know, paying the offensive line. Keeping Sutton's back again. You're paying, of course, Quinn Miners all this money. It feels like, on paper, they've invested more in competency in the offensive line and the offense the last two seasons than the defense. Now, I know they added John Franklin Myers, but they didn't pay a lot to get him. Malcolm Roach wasn't expensive. Third round pick Ellis, not big. You know, trade up for Riley Moss, third round. It's still not, you know, massive investment. They got rid of Simmons to bring in Jones, who I thought looked pretty good also. You're taking a discount there for that one. But to my point, I'm with you, Troy. All over Twitter, I was just kind of curious because I saw the All 22 live. But I can't rewind, right? I can't see everything. But I thought Riley Moss had a pretty good game. I mean, 12 tackles. He looked physical. I think he had good special teams play as well. Again, kind of hard to tell sometimes live at the game. But this is what's going to happen when you have Patrick Surtain on one side. Your other cornerback is going to get targeted. And I think Moss gave up one explosive play, 15-plus yards, and it wasn't good coverage. Lockett made a great play. Moss is going to get targeted this season. He's going to give up catches. NFL passing games, they're going to be able to try to isolate him because obviously they're not going to go to Surtain. Surtain was awesome. I mean, DK Metcalf, non-factor. But Moss, for a third-round rookie quarterback with his first start, looked as good as I could have hoped overall. But again, is he a superstar? No. And I think the standards, people are looking for a reason to hate him, and they're going to – it's kind of like the offensive line, Scott. Oh, they got a sack. The quarterback held the ball too long. So obviously – it's the offensive lineman's fault. No, it's more complicated than that. He was in good position. He had good technique. It just took too long. So I think Moss, good game overall. I'm optimistic.
Yeah, I thought he played well, and Surtain was phenomenal. Phenomenal yesterday.
Best player on the field.
You didn't hear his name very much for a reason, and he's going up against a freak of a wide receiver. Yeah. I think it was Dave Logan on the radio broadcast said, I think DK Metcalf's had about enough of Pat Surtain this week. That's all you need to say is look at those numbers. But you were talking about investment on the defensive side of the ball. I think there's been, since you and I have been doing this, this is our fourth year. So we've had four off seasons. There's been three pretty good investments on the defensive side of the ball. Yeah. That's it. Really. The very first one, number 9 overall. I think he was number 9.
He was.
Pat Surtain, number 1. DJ Jones, Zach Allen. After that, it's been piecemealed together. It's been, you know, lack of top 100 picks and no big money on free agents. Everything else has been towards the offense, which you can understand because there still needs to be more investment on the offense. But the big investment, which took up 6 or 7 players, honestly, was Russell Wilson.
Yeah. But even in the post-Peyton era, I mean, you talk about the offensive line especially, and they were okay in this game. Again, McDonald, he's good. What they're doing scheme-wise, it was a hard matchup for Bo Nix week one, and I'm not super freaking out about it yet. I did also want to give a shout-out. I think the defense had a really good game, and they continuously set the offense up for success, and the offense just completely flaccid in this game with the opportunities. You had the second play of the game, Singleton, incredible interception. They got a sack, then an interception, and you have, 12 yards to go? I don't even know where they're at, but that's you can't.
And the interception was pressure.
Yeah.
So that was the CBS guy. He's like, huh, I don't know where he's throwing the ball to. I'm like, dude, I think it was Cooper. I'm not positive, though. Cooper's draped all over his legs. What are you talking about? That's not where he was throwing the ball. You've got benefit of a replay here. Use it.
Yep.
So great pressure. Great pressure from the front.
Yeah, and that first drive, again, that should have been, if Denver is going to win this game, they need to score 7 off of that and dictate from there and get that early lead. They did not take advantage of the opportunities. You had the 2 safeties. The defense provided +4 there as well. And you still come away with no offensive touchdowns until the Broncos' last drive, which I would argue was not garbage time, but the Seahawks were backing off. They're like, okay, you can march down the field and take time off the clock. And if you score a touchdown, we're going to get the ball back, but we cannot let you score off of one play. That's when we're in trouble here. So I think there's a little bit of context to that. Over the larger sample size of the season, does that really matter? No, but in one game, I think a lot of the yards, positive play came off that one drive. And I just don't know if that's as replicable. Broncos country fans, the team, they're going to try to, lean on that one drive. Like, this is what we build on. But I think from what I saw, Seahawks got a little bit more conservative and there was more there to take. Furman comes in and says, since Hackett is gone and Russell is gone, who is to blame now? I think Russell's still to blame. Honestly, you're having the fallout of the dead cap hit and the trade. And this is a team. You look at the depth chart. We kept talking about it. You have just question mark after question mark.
Well, who does that boil down to, Nick?
George Payton.
George Payton. Yeah, George Payton. Yeah. And it was because of, I can't get to it. This move and this move. Yeah. The Hackett and Russell, and then you used a first-round pick on Sean Payton, which you probably still think is a decent investment. I was for it. We'll see if bias will change my opinion as we move down the stretch. I've said a zillion times, I love George Payton, the coach. George Payton, the general. Sean Payton, the coach. Sean Payton, the general manager, scares the bejesus out of me. Mm-hmm. I've said that since he was hired. But you're overcoming the big move and trying to dig your way out of all of the picks that you've given up for Russell Wilson and Sean Payton. And the $85 million in dead cap. Like I said, between that, you're still taking some dead money on Randy Gregory, I think. Tim Patrick now has some. Justin Simmons still has some. You're almost at $80 million. Almost a third of your payroll is not on your team.
Yep.
That's general management.
Yep. And we've said big picture all offseason. This is a season where you're going to try to hopefully develop and evaluate your quarterback, and you're going to have a lot of questions. We can do a big picture episode probably more so down the line by week or something, but this draft looks like a team that's probably going to be picking top 10, right? Franklin's older. GJ Jones is probably gone. You love Allen. We need to talk a little bit more about the defense here before we get on out of here. But defensive tackle, question mark, that's something the direction you go. Edge rusher, two of your top guys are going to be gone. That's something you'd add. Cornerback, Riley Moss, he's not just fighting for a job right now. He's fighting for being the starting cornerback opposite Surtain the next 2.5 seasons, rest of this year and going forward. Wide receiver, can somebody step up? There's just question. Garrett Bowles, who it sounds like his ankle is okay. We'll see if he goes. Scott, I think we'll find out more today, but all the early indication sounds good from what I've heard. Doesn't mean he's not going to miss time though, but we'll see. But just so many question marks on this team. And when you have that, not every single one of those is going to, you're not going to hit jackpot on every single one on the slots. So unfortunately, a lot more bad than good in this Seattle game, but we got a lot of time to go. And I trust this coaching staff to figure out the pieces they have and get better and develop guys over the season.
Wagner Bob Lamonte says, the payroll from Sean being 5 years, $90 million overpaid, that had not anything to do with the salary cap. Coaches, you can pay him what you want to. That just comes out of the Penner's pockets. Doesn't mean he's not overpaid, but it doesn't have it. The only cost that it did cost you to get him, it cost you a first round pick, a late pick from the Dolphins. Jonathan Fallett comes in. Love this comment. He says, "Morning. Well, Nick's failed the jump program, but he could still be the one. Everyone falls the first time. Also, I was very encouraged by Riley Moss's play, which we just spent a bunch of time on. Thanks for all the great commentary. Appreciate the comment, Jonathan, and the super chat. It made me smile because I'm not positive Nick gets it, but he should." Nick,
yeah.
What is Jonathan talking about? Oh God, he failed. Nick failed too.
I did fail. Sorry,
it's
I was
the Matrix, dude.
The Matrix. I've only seen the Matrix once.
Neo. So. Everybody falls the first time. Load the jump program. Everybody. I know Kung Fu. Everybody falls the first time. Yes. Number one overall, Caleb Williams, rookie of the year. Fail. Jaden Daniels. Pass. He had a good first game.
Yeah.
Drake May didn't even get to the jump program. Michael Penix. Nope. And then
McCarthy.
JJ McCarthy didn't make it either. So there's only three going. Two of them looked pretty poor, and one of them looked solid. Out of six first round draft picks, you had one pretty good opening week.
And most quarterbacks, a lot of veterans looked like crap too. So we'll see. They really did. I mean, it was just not a good week of offensive football. So unless Baker Mayfield had a good week, but other than the Cowboys, but other than that, not great. So we'll see how it plays out.
Everybody hates the preseason. Week one is now the preseason.
It's too bad because the game matters. Positives for the Broncos again, the defense. I want to talk more about the defensive line. You mentioned it. I've always been more of a Browning guy just based on the athletic profile. But man, Cooper keeps playing like this. Somebody's going to pay him big money. Scott, that's a viable starter out there. Now, is he going to be, Pro Bowl contention year after year? No. But with the way edge rushers, it's a rotational position. And he's just been so solid. I mean, good, solid edge setter as well. And he had one or two sacks in this game. He had a lot of pressures. You mentioned the wrapped around Geno Smith's legs, too. I do believe that was him. Cooper was the third best player on the defense in this game, in my opinion, for the Broncos. And, man, he had a heck of a game. I've been a Browning guy more so than Cooper. But based on this game, it's Cooper is the one if I'm going to pay anybody to bring him back.
Yeah, and we've talked about, can Browning and or Cooper be $10 million guys next year? Because they're coming off dirt cheap contracts, especially Cooper, but they're both pretty cheap. $10 million at edge puts you top 40. Yeah, they can probably on an open market be a top 40 edge rusher. Someone could, especially when you look at the guys that are available to you. Yeah, I got some money to spend. Yeah. Is this going to be, am I better off with Jonathan Cooper or, a first round draft pick? I don't know. It depends on who's coming out and where you're picking. But yeah, he's making himself some money on that second contract for sure.
And speaking of which, Scott, something that we talked about a lot just this season, this team doesn't have a lot of bona fide difference makers. And we have Surtain, obviously, all pro, now the second highest paid cornerback because Jalen Ramsey gets 0.1 million more. But who is the other guy we kept saying, if anybody on this team has a chance to earn a Pro Bowler this season, it's this guy? Because I thought
it was Zach Allen. Yeah, it was
Zach Allen. He was great.
I wonder, did he fall off a little bit in the second half, or did they just start running the right side?
They started running the outside right side.
Max Mox and Daniels was just okay. Daniels was 17 to 24 for 184 yards with no interceptions, a 93.1 rating, which is solid, and then 88 yards and two touchdowns rushing. So he was effective. It was a very good debut for Jaden Daniels, especially compared to the rest of the rookies.
Yeah. I mean, when you throw in 80 yards and two rushing,
that's 300 yards from scrimmage and two touchdowns with no turnovers. It's a good day for a rookie quarterback.
Yeah, you take that.
That would have won. I can think of a couple of teams that would have won some games for.
Yeah. So, but that's a big positive for me as well. I just wanted to give a shout out to Zach Allen. I thought he had a very good game. He was Denver's second best player on the field, in my opinion. I would absolutely love just an absolute, one gapping glass eater next to him to free him up with a little bit more one-on-ones. But he was very effective, run and pass, and he's really coming into his own. At Arizona, he was a little bit of a seven technique that could kick into the four eye spot, three technique. And now he's looking like he's putting on mass strength, learning the leverage game a little bit more out there because it's a different edge compared to the interior. And he is, I think, actually a bargain on his contract, considering what defensive line are getting paid and just how effective he's been. An ascending player, still only 24, 25 years old. Allen had a hell of a game, so did want to give him a shout out.
Yep, he's really good. And I thought DJ Jones played much better. We knew he was better than he showed last year. And part of it was going to be the guys next to him being better also. Because he's not a, I'm taking on two blockers, three technique, or, you know, nose guard. He's better as a three, where he can pick his gaps and penetrate and use his quickness. Vote for Angelo. He says, the D look good, just tired out. Yeah, that's part of it. First game. You know, I know they played a lot in the preseason, but still first game. And I still think there's, while the defensive line is infinitely better than it was last year, it was a low bar last year. So I think you've kind of worked your way up to like average, and your depth still isn't great. It's not a liability so much anymore, but you saw that it's still not a strength of the team either. He says, and I still don't get little Jordan Humphrey at wide receiver three. If we're rebuilding, give, and that's why I'm emphasizing this one, vote for Angelo. Give Mims or Franklin his reps. Okay. For now, for me, from what we know, which is nothing except what we see, and these guys, Mims and Franklin, are not part of the game plan. Mims or Franklin need to take his reps because they're not. They're not. That's all we know. Why not? Why? Why is little Jordan Humphreys out there? What are Mims and Franklin doing when they've got their opportunities in practice to show that they belong on the field? Why? I'd like to know, but I do believe that they're not just blackballing a couple of guys they traded up for. Sean Payton's got all the incentive in the world to play these guys. Mm-hmm. And he's not.
Yep. Yeah, other than that, I mean, defensive line on the whole, I thought had a pretty good game until the end when they started to run the ball. But I mean, Denver only gave up two explosive pass plays. One was obviously Smith buying time, and then the running back Charbonnet getting behind him. And then I think you had one to Lockett as well. But the secondary, I mean, the not giving up explosive pass plays was good. It was the run defense in the end, especially to the right side with Kenneth Walker. Obviously, Geno Smith as well broke somebody's ankles and ran for a long touchdown as well. So on defense, the run game is what was an issue, and we'll see if that's an issue going forward. I would need to go and watch the tape versus the All-22. All-22 better for passing, but not always for the run game, to see where those who they were targeting, where those holes came from. Kenneth Walker, a good back, but that was really the big issue. But this game was not lost on the defense. They could have done better at the end. Obviously, there wasn't a winning performance from them, but offense did next to nothing for them to help this game.
And the Broncos offense could have put this out of reach in the first half.
Yep.
I mean, there's no such thing. I mean, you know, we've seen 28 points come back, but again, you basically had four turnovers and 4 points in the first half. And what'd you score? 9? Somewhere, so it was a strange score. So 11, 9, 8. But Triple G says, really miss Timmy Patrick right now. I don't remember watching Timmy Patrick. It's been so long since I've seen him play. I saw him in the preseason, and it's been what, 2021 since he was on the field in a regular season game for the Denver Broncos? It's a long time.
Yeah.
It's a long time. I think Calvin Ridley was an Atlanta Falcon. That's how long ago it was.
Did Tim Patrick do anything with the
he probably wasn't active. The plan for Tim Patrick was to sign him to the practice squad, let him work up to speed and elevate him eventually. That was the plan with the Lions. I did not watch the Lions, but my guess was he wasn't active. Detroit receiving, no catches, no targets. No catches.
Yeah. So we will we'll see what happens with that going forward. But
and frankly, Triple G, like I said at the top of the show, you needed Jerry Jeudy more than you needed Timmy Patrick.
Yeah. You need somebody who can do something after the catch right now. But we'll see what happens going forward. Obviously, it was not a great game from the Broncos offense, but it is just one game. Bo Nix, you know, credit to him. He didn't completely fold that last drive. They went out there and moved the ball and scored a touchdown. What I would like to see going forward, Scott, is I just don't think there's going to be the ability to – Sean Payton's very high on himself, obviously, and I think he kind of believes that he can scheme guys open and he doesn't need to have the best weapons. But right now you're dealing with some of the worst pass catching in the NFL. All you have is Sutton, and even then he didn't show up. When your best pass catcher is dropping balls like that, everything kind of crumbles. So that's not going to be a big change. That's going to have to be an off-season priority, adding weaponry. I think because of that, teams are going to crowd the box and really take away the run. The only way I see this offense, at least early on, adding some efficiency is if you implement Bo Nix more into the run design. I think there needs to be more quarterback keepers, more zone reads, and the quarterback making the read to keep the ball on RPO looks as well if you pull it out there. Just because if teams are crowding the box, you need to make them account for the quarterback. If it's just you're going to have a negative advantage every time or disadvantage every time if the quarterback's not part of that design. And we saw in that last drive, it was not always by design, but Nick's running around changed the offense a little bit. So that's something it's scary to do against the Steelers, especially because as you saw this week, Scott, I mean, Peyton Wilson there at linebacker, he could be defensive rookie of the year. They paid Patrick Queen, who's a heat seeking missile, and they got a good defensive line. So it's risky to do that, but I just don't know if I see many other ways to still manufacture a run game if you're not forcing teams back off with the pass game, which I just don't know if they have the personnel to do.
Dulcich got through the first game healthy. Let's see what he can do in the seam.
Woo! Yeah.
I mean, but again, yeah. It's a positive. I mean, it is. Yeah. He had three targets. Let's see what he can do in the seam because he can stretch that. Say he can put pressure on the back end of the safeties, where the safeties aren't just creeping up and living in the box. Again, you're looking at you don't need the all 22 right now to watch the Broncos offense. It's all right there in the box. Yeah. And that has to change. And Michael, you know, Jerry Jeudy and the Browns were terrible against the Cowboys. Yeah, I'm not advocating for Jerry Jeudy to be back on this team. I'm just saying if I'm going to miss a receiver, I don't need the Tim Patrick type. I need a Jerry Jeudy, what you thought he was going to be, with the quick twitch, the slot skills, the run after the catch, the make a guy miss. I need somebody that scares the defense. I need somebody that makes the defense think about not going forward on first step, instead taking two steps back and reading. And right now you don't have that guy.
Yeah. Yeah, without a doubt. Unfortunately, just because the volume of passing was so high, we have an EPA per dropback, which, Scott, you know me, I love EPA. I love those efficiency metrics, right? They're accounting for the volume as well in that. Bo Nix has the second worst day of any quarterback in EPA per dropback in the NFL, only to be outdone by Will Levis against the Bears there with I don't know if you saw him drop to his knees and put his hands on his head after that interception that he made. But yeah, it's nowhere to go but up, right, for Bo Nix. And they're going to have to figure out how to generate some explosive down the field passing. Luckily, Denver's coming at home. I'm hoping we get Russell Wilson. I'm worried about the run design of that defense, making the back seven play the run game. If it is Justin Fields, but we'll see for sure. It's going to be a tough test. Look, hopefully there's some home cooking going on. Speaking of home cooking, that should have been pass interference to Courtland Sutton. I don't know if that was as egregious as it looked like where I was at, Scott, but that was
the radio guys were certainly all over it. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Vote for Angelo coming back in. He says Vele led the team in separation per snap, a rook. That says a lot because he's not a separation type receiver. He's a big body, a powerful guy that you can throw as a power forward out there. He's not a separation type. Mm-hmm. So it says a lot. You need another playmaker on offense is where I would start. How does it get better? That's where I start. I need a wide receiver. You know, when we start, it won't be long before we start talking draft. I'm looking at wide receivers for this team.
Wide receiver. They just have so many holes, Scott. I don't think it has to be first round for wide receiver. It could even be something that they pay or trade for. There are good wide receivers available. You can get a number one every other year. I really do believe that on the market somewhere. Some of them are, you know, kind of closer to the end of their career, but you can still squeeze out 2-3 years, especially when you're paying a quarterback peanuts, assuming Bo Nix is the guy. So we'll see what happens. We've got a long season to go. There's going to be moments that are lower than this game. There are going to be moments that are higher, but we got to let the sample size accumulate. Really, I mean, even we kind of saw it last year. I know we got to get out of here, Scott. We kind of saw it last year with Jordan Love, right? Like the first six, seven games, not very good from Jordan Love. And he's had time in the NFL. He's got an unbelievable, you know, FU kind of arm as well. But it was kind of erratic. And then at the end, starting to get it, some excitement there. So Broncos country, I think it's, especially with the personnel, the offense is probably going to be tough to watch for a bit. There'll be some things that are promising. But the first 8 weeks, I think that after that, that's when we really start to this evaluation process of Bo Nix. So I'm going to try to be very patient here. It's not like Denver has many other options. It's not like this is a team in a Super Bowl window right now. So eight games, hopefully Nix is not the worst quarterback in the NFL through those eight games, or second worst in EPA per dropback. But we'll find out a lot. And from that point forward, we're going to have a better idea with Nix, but we got to be patient. We need to be patient.
Bookmeister says, man, oh man, I hope the first game, my first game in the stadium next week, isn't this rough. On another note, good morning, big dogs. Right back at you. Meet and greet is almost here. Yeah, I'll be on a plane in, 5 days? Can't wait to see you guys. Looking forward to meeting you too. And one thing that I will almost guarantee about this week, and I'll say this about the Steelers with a blank check, the game's going to be close. The Steelers offense, if real quick, and we'll get more into this on Wednesday, the Steelers have a better defense than Seattle. I believe that. Mm-hmm. Their offense is as bad as anything you'll see this year. Mm-hmm. They've got a wild card in Justin Fields running the ball, and they got George Pickens. And then if they can get some openings, if they're not looking at eight-man boxes, Najee Harris is a good back. But, man, they're rough on offense, and they are rough in a good way on defense. They're going to keep every game they play is going to be close, and it will be close. It might be ugly. It could be a really ugly game. They want to get down and dirty with you, but it'll be a close game.
Yeah. We'll see what happens. I'm hoping we get a chance to see Russell Wilson play, but who knows? We got GG says, I feel like Tim Patrick wouldn't have dropped those three, those clutch third downs. I mean, maybe not, but he hasn't played meaningful football really in two seasons. So who's to say? It's hard to come back, but maybe, right? It's counterfactual. We'll never know. Is he even getting open to get those opportunities? We don't know.
Yeah, I want him to succeed. That's all I care about. And I know he's I'm glad we've said before, I'm glad he made his money on that second contract because he's paid for it with his body. Doesn't do the Broncos any good, I know. But I'm a players fan first. The old saying is the longer you do this professionally, the more you root for the name on the back of the jersey instead of the name on the front of the jersey. No. And I want Tim Patrick to find success.
Yeah. Yeah, without a doubt. Arlie comes in and says, not giving up. I'll be looking for adjustments and improvements from the team as a whole. The next game, great show, though, gentlemen. Thank you, Arlie. And I wanted to give a shout out to John and Steve, who I met at the game. John came up to me and was like, oh my gosh, you're Nick Kendall, which is just so weird. Appreciate all you guys coming in and hanging out. I mean, that's bizarre to me, but it was a lot of fun. So shout out to you, John. Nice to meet your lovely wife as well. And also Steve, who worked at Bowen for a long time, who we saw on the outside. So appreciate you as well. But we got to wrap it up here, Scott, because I'm getting a call from my wife. She's got a dentist appointment. So we got to fly.
Okay.
So appreciate everyone. Make sure you're following Scott and I on Twitter. Scott's at Scout Kennedy. I'm at Nick Kendall, MHH. Also follow us at Mile High Huddle. If you haven't done so yet, we're at facebook.com/ Mile High Huddle and Mile High Huddle Pod. And of course, subscribe, like, and share. Shout out to all our star givers today: Rob Buxbaum, RD, Justin Lloyd, Keith Brugman, Michael Ronquillo, David Cremello, Miguel Santa Steven, Troy Boer, Jonathan Falk. Vote for Angelo a few times. GGG. You guys are great. Scott, long season to go. We'll see what happens. Continue to choose kindness and compassion, everyone. But until then, go Broncos.
Head on over to milehighhuddle.com for all things Broncos. Morning, Broncos country.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
O'Reilly. You've got questions? O'Reilly Auto Parts has answers. Need a pro you can trust? We've got that too. No matter what you need, our professional parts people have the training and expertise to help you do things right. Deep automotive knowledge. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.